Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
With Renault's award-winning hybrid and full electric lineup, where style meets tech. Rethink Renault.
This is News Talk.
Yeah, you're very welcome along to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up over the next hour, serial entrepreneur Bobby Healy will join me to talk about his new product that has been developed entirely by AI. Derek Riley will join me with a full report from the Consumer Electronics Show. And as ever, I'll answer your tech questions. If you want to get in touch, you can do so right now. Drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com, or you'll find me on Instagram at Jess Kelly. NT. I do hope you're well, as ever. It has been another week that has felt like 15 weeks mushed into one, for want of a better phrase. The fallout from the Grok AI scandal, debacle, whatever you want to call it, continued this week. We spoke about it on the show last week, but we will get an update on where we're at with that. A good few people got in touch after the show last week, sharing their experiences, but also their thoughts and feelings about where social media should go. So I'm going to bring a little bit of that to you later on. But as always, give me the questions, techtalk@newstalk.com. My weekend last weekend was pretty much dominated by the spate of Instagram reset your password emails that was everywhere. So I, one of my colleagues here at News Talk texted me on Friday afternoon saying, I received this email. It was a screenshot of the Instagram reset your password email. She hadn't tried to reset her password. And she said, is it legit? And what should I do? And I looked at it and it was legit. You can tell. You can also tell, this is a good little tip. Hang on there now and I'll give you a top tip of the week. So if you ever get an email that's purporting to be from Instagram and you don't know if it's from Instagram or not, if you go to your profile, tap the three lines in the top right-hand corner. That'll bring up the entire menu that is there. And if you scroll on down to Account Center, tap on that, then go to Password and Security. Within that, you will see at the very bottom, under Security Checks, it says Recent Emails. So if you tap on that, you'll be able to see if the official Instagram email sent you official emails, and you'll know if it's a scam or not. But anyway, I digress. So my colleague did that they hadn't contacted her, right? It was a legitimate email from the actual Instagram account, but for whatever reason, it wasn't showing up in that portion of her Instagram. Then Saturday morning, another one of my colleagues received one of these emails, the exact same thing. I then started making tinfoil hats and I was like, oh my God, is News Talk under attack? Is someone coming after us? And then, as I was mid-tinfoil hat making, I received one of the emails saying that they got my password reset request, even though I didn't send one. So at that stage then, I was like, oh, there's something going on. So I put it up on my Instagram and I asked, has anyone else received this? And instantly, my conspiracy theory was debunked because hundreds of people, and I genuinely mean hundreds of people, messaged me back on Instagram going, yes, I've received this multiple times over the last few hours. What's going on? So I got on to Meta, haven't heard back still a week later. But it transpired on Sunday that a third party managed to infiltrate their system in some way that they're saying is not a breach to trigger those password reset emails being sent to millions of users. And it was a bit freaky deaky because there was obvious questions as to how did this happen? Are accounts actually safe? Are we sure there wasn't a breach? All the rest, Instagram says no. But it's a good reminder to enable your two-factor authentication on not only Instagram, but every social platform you've access to. So again, if you go to your Instagram profile, the three lines in the top right-hand corner, and then go to the Account Center, go to Password and Security, and just enable multi-factor authentication or 2FA. And hopefully that'll keep your account safe. But it's just insane how stuff like this can happen. And the fear that you think, like I genuinely thought someone was coming for my account. Now, there's nothing gossipy or salacious or even interesting. It's me and about seven friends sending different memes to each other 10 times a day. That's the height of what's in my DMs as well as all the tech questions. But it's still just not a nice thing to think that your account has been compromised in some way, shape or form. So if you do nothing else after the show, go and enable multi-factor authentication on every single account you have, just for the peace of mind. But were you impacted? Was it a pain in the face for you? You can email me, techtalk@newstalk.com. I am delighted to say that Bobby Healy, who we know from Man of Drones as well as other things, is with me now to talk about his latest endeavour. Bobby, it's always great to talk to you. Tell us a little bit about what you've launched in the last few days.
Yes, so I've built a replacement for an app called Evernote, which is a note-taker app, I mean, a productivity app that most people in business would use some form of note taker, and I've been using Evernote for 10 years, over 10 years, subscribing, paying £150 a year just to take my notes. And it drives me mad. It's not a great app. It hasn't evolved much at all. And I said to myself a few weeks ago, look, I'm going to, you know, use this as an example of how easy it is to build now with the AI coding tools and at the same time build something that I wanted on my terms and have a bit of fun and do some for charity as well at the same time. So it kind of a program and exercise to show everyone just look how easy this is. And the result is Nevernote, which is you can all download it and get a free note-taking tool.
So I want to talk about sort of all the different elements that you've just hit on there. So we'll talk about the AI system development in a second, but let's just stick with the product itself because I am a productivity nerd. I have multiple systems. I have my physical journal. I have my iPad mini. I use OneNote. I used Evernote, and I've been using Nevernote now over the last little while. And just explain some of the pain points that you were experiencing with Evernote, because that is one of the classics that's been around for such a long time now.
Yeah. So it's got feature bloat for starters. So it became a real corporate thing, and everything that everybody wanted got into it, and it just became a mess. And just basic annoying things, particularly on Windows, it was unreliable. It would crash. It would often get note conflict. So I would edit a note on my phone and then I'd go to my laptop and then it'd have a conflict, so it'd create a duplicate of the note and have to manually merge, and that it's just like a mess, you know. And even something as simple as finding something in a note, the user interface was crap, and it just didn't have the love of the original developers and founders. And I said, look, I don't need 90% of the functionality in it. I don't need what I do need is AI to really look at my notes intelligently, all my information, make sense of it, graph it. I need to be able to talk to it rather than type. So, for example, in Nevernote, you can just talk to it and send a voice note in, and it'll figure out which notes to put that information into or create a new note. All really clean, simple, but powerful ways to organize my own stuff. And so it's just way better than Evernote, and it's going to get better and better, because when I have 10 minutes free, like I'm on the train from Cork to Dublin today, I'll add some major functionality while I'm on the train.
Mm. And when people log in, so you can go to nevernote.ie and it's there. You can set up your account and whatever. People might get a shock because once you log in, it's blank, and you kind of get to just build it the way you would a fresh notebook. Like, I love going to Eason's and buying a new notebook at the end of the year for the start of the year. This is kind of the digital version of that, in that it's quite literally a blank slate and you get to dictate how it works.
Correct. Yeah. You just start talking or start typing. You can also import, so you can bring in your OneNote notes. You can bring Rome Research, Evernote. So I've built importers for all the main note takers. Apple Notes is coming up soon as well. And so you can bring all your old stuff in. I don't recommend it for now because it needs to be a bit more stable. So don't rely on it for your life-saving stuff just yet. But there's a demo mode where you can just make it generate a few thousand notes or a couple hundred notes, so you can play around with it to see how the graph works and the brain model works and AI stuff works. So, but yeah, it is blank. But the idea is it does a mind map. So I've borrowed or robbed some of the best features of the best note takers out there. For example, the graph mode, where it kind of follows what you're doing and it says, hey, that note kind of relates to that note. And it'll build a mind map that you can get a graph for and show kind of the history of your thinking and of your notes, and it does loads of different graphs. It shows them different ways. So it's just a really nice way to work. And all of these, by the way, are not my creative mind. They're all just completely unashamedly robbed from the best note-taking apps that are out there. But it kind of the purpose of, to show you how easy it is to build this stuff. I mean, a total of 18 days of work over Christmas has replicated all of that functionality with AI.
Yeah, and that's what we'll talk about now. But I just want to acknowledge again that the fact that it is inspired, shall we say, by other services, because that was a real pain point of mine, and that I was using Trello for some things, I was using OneNote for another thing, my notebook for another, and it's just to have it all consolidated in one place. But talk to me about the development of it then. So you've created on the Nevernote.ie, you can go to /journey, and you can see the journey, right? So there was 18 active development days. Just talk me through the process and why this is a really good example that anyone who's in the development space should be sitting up and paying attention to.
Yeah. So, like, as you know, I run Mana, the drone delivery business, and also Mailie, the travel tech business. We, between the two of us, we probably have 100 or so software developers. And, as we transition as a company of engineers to using these tools, it's very important that I understand them deeply. So I kind of used this to make sure that I was on top of things and to understand how realistic it is to start developing purely with AI rather than handwriting code. And I didn't write a single line of code for Nevernote. It's 100% written by the AI that I just directed. And so the process was very simple. I kind of thought about what would Bobby Healy want for an AI note-taking app. And then looking around at what really are the most popular features, the most used features of all the other AI note-taking apps. And then writing essentially a brief for the AI. So I wrote a kind of a one-pager on all the functionality that I wanted, a lot of detail on the functionality as a plan with Claude Opus 4.5, which is the best coding agent at the moment. Wrote it all in Cursor, which is an AI coding tool. And like, trust me, I'll publish it actually on the app later on today. So if anyone goes to Nevernote.ie and gets the app, refresh this evening and I'll publish the notes I used for the AI to create the app. That'll be quite interesting for people to read. But I wrote in English with a little bit of tech kind of, back end, front end, cryptography, all that kind of stuff. But I wrote in English and I haven't written a single line of code yet for it, and I won't need to. And so the process was very much product design, thinking, what would I want? What would other people want? And the structure of, in terms of safety of data, privacy of data, cryptography, all that kind of stuff. Quite prescriptive, but as I said, I wrote in my spare time, literally when I was dossing, like at the dinner table with the family while we're having dinner. I'm giving the AI more instructions, and it's coming back a half hour later with major pieces of functionality written. And so it's iterative, and what's there now is probably fully functional. It probably would serve most people's needs now. But I want to, this would be a great opportunity. If everyone can download the thing, and there's a little menu item there where you can send, feedback and information to me directly. I'd love to get ideas for it and what, where we could take it. But again, the side gig here is, I want to be able to make some money for the charity. So there's an option to donate to Deborah Ireland in it, and then just educate people on the potential of this, like both positive and negative, because building a business now is so much cheaper and so much easier and so much faster if you're building a tech business because of these tools. But at the same time, if you already have one, you'd be looking hard at your business to say, how difficult is this to be replaced now with a free coding agent? Because you'll see this thing is better than Evernote. So what's the future for Evernote? They have 200 million subscribers. If it's this easy to replace it, I mean, people could build their own versions of anything now, their own versions of Excel or Word or whatever, with AI tools. So it's just all about change and understanding it.
I want to mention, you mentioned the charity there, Deborah. We've covered them many times on the station, but if you do go to Nevernote and you use it and you like it, you can make a donation to Deborah.ie. They do fantastic work. I want to pick up the point though, because obviously people know your credentials now. You have been around the block. You've been working with and moving in tech circles for a long time. When you did this, were given the direction to the AI, did you check its homework, and how rigorously did you test it before you put it live?
That's the bit that you don't trust AI with, because AI will always it'll hallucinate. It'll tell you everything you want to hear. It'll tell you you're great, and it'll say, hey, yes, your data is safe. I've used the following crypto, this cryptography approach, the one-way passphrase, all that stuff. But you do need, particularly around privacy or security of data, anything like that, you could not leave that in the hands of AI. So even though the AI has built all the code, I have used secondary services, otherwise known as human beings, to validate everything. So if you go into, there's an option there, a menu option called How Safe Is My Information? And it describes how your information is stored, where it's stored, how the cryptography is done. It describes it all. And by the way, it's open source, so you can see the source code as well. But then you still need humans to use standard approaches for validating things like GDPR. All of the ways that we handle the data have to be proven by a human. I don't think we would ever be at a point where you would let the AI do it all on its own and not have some oversight. So there's always like the companies that do penetration testing, hack testing or data security validation, GDPR validation, they're gonna thrive. They're not gonna be replaced by AI. They're all going to be needed forever, to provide that, I think, guardrails and oversight for these tools.
Yeah, and I suppose that's where I wanted to finish our conversation because, again, I'd highly recommend people go and have a look and have a play with it and see what you like and do send the feedback across to Bobby because no doubt you'll take it on board and tweak as you go. But what's your takeaway here in terms of the career opportunities in the world of technology? Like, should we all go and be compliance officers now rather than programmers? Because when I left college in 2010, everyone was being told to learn how to code and whatever. But do you see compliance being almost a more valuable, more secure role for the next 5, 10 years?
No, I think that's going to continue the way it is. It's far more, first of all, it's a far more exciting world. It's a much better world if you're an engineer or a product design person. I think this just removes all the drudge of writing code. And I've been writing code for 40 years. I love it. It's a hobby for me. And that's gone now. I'm no longer writing code. Don't need to. What people should be thinking about is, how do you get distribution for a product? So, like, I have Nevernote. This isn't like a side hobby for me, but if you want to build your own business and you have a great idea, what you should think is now that's for free, right? So you don't need a tech team to build it anymore. You build it yourself. And that's the first part. But the real hard part of building a business has nothing to do and never had of writing the code. Like, look at Cartrawler or Mailie or any of the businesses I've built before. It isn't the code that was the hard part. It was thinking of the product and the product strategy and marketing that and selling it and doing the relationships and all that stuff. That's the hard part. The only thing that's changed now is if you're building a startup, it's never been easier to get your product vision realized. And so what I would say is don't study tech anymore because that's for free. Study where are the opportunities? How do I get distribution from my business? How do I do digital advertising, digital acquisition, funnel marketing, all those things, all those skills won't change. They can be automated with AI, but you still need to understand them. So not much has changed other than the build and the engineering build comes for free now. And I think it's a hugely positive new world that we're in.
Yeah, it's certainly an exciting time. Again, I would love to know your thoughts. You can email techtalk@newstalk.com. Bobby, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Best of luck with Nevernote. I'm sure we'll chat to you soon.
Thanks, Emil. Jess, lovely to chat.
Yeah, that was Bobby Healy of Mana Drones and Nevernote.ie. Bobby will be back to talk about Mana, I'm sure, at some stage in the near future. But I have to say, I have been genuinely hand on heart been using Nevernote. I was following, because Bobby being Bobby, he was live posting on social media as he was developing this. And I was glued to it. I just think it's fascinating what could be done. But the point that he makes around talent and where the jobs and the time will be in the tech world is fascinating, and no doubt one that'll develop over time. But do let me know if you give it a go and if you like it. But also, if you have any other productivity tools that you'd recommend. So, as I said, I've been using Nevernote. I've been using OneNote. I use GoodNotes on my iPad mini, but I'm always on the hunt for more. So what is the best productivity tool, ideally free, techtalk@newstalk.com is the email address. Right, when we come back here on News Talk, we'll catch up with Derek Riley of Nevo.ie, who is just back from Las Vegas.
Tech Talk on News Talk.
With Renault, leaders in tech, built to entertain and keep you safe. Rethink Renault.
Welcome back to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. As ever, if you want to get in touch, you can drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com. I'm sure many of you will get in touch in relation to my conversation before the break with Bobby Healy about the development of his new tool, Nevernote.ie, which was done entirely with AI. If you're working in that space, I would love to hear your thoughts about the efficiency of the AI, but also the point that Bobby made that, you know, you still need to check its homework in terms of compliance with whether it's GDPR or whatever it may be. But please do share your thoughts, techtalk@newstalk.com. We mentioned him on the show last week, but he's had such a busy old time traveling. He didn't have time for us last week, but he's back with us now. Derek Riley of Nevo.ie. Derek, how are you?
I'm jet lagged, would you believe?
I would believe it, because you have been the busiest boy and we're not even, you know, halfway through the month, really. But I want to talk about the Consumer Electronics Show. As I said there, you were there in the midst of all the madness. Just give me a bit of an overview. Was this a good year or a bad year for EV innovation at CES?
I think a good year. It wasn't that there were more, there was for sure less electric vehicle launches there, but the technology behind vehicles and electric vehicles was very much on the up and up, be that autonomous driving, be that a huge announcement on a solid state battery. Mm. We can deep dive into that. But a lot of AI, everything has AI, toothbrushes, windscreens, everything in between. AI was definitely the it has been the last couple of years as well, the sprinkling on top of everything at CES.
Yeah, and I've been to CES at years where there's a trend or there's a buzz that is kind of ingrained in random things that you just think this is excessive and it's not necessary and all the rest. So I'd be excited to kind of hear where those sprinklings appeared in the world of EVs. But just take us on a trip then. Take us with you. Bring yourself back to your first day at CES. What was on the agenda, and was there anything in particular that was exclusive to CES that you were excited to see?
Yeah, a lot of brands will hold out for CES to launch their newest and greatest things. What I'm seeing is larger brands may not be participating in the show itself. So, for example, Samsung, not in the EV space, but just they had a standalone exhibition in the Venetian Hotel instead of the convention center. So some brands are starting to move away from the main show, doing their own thing where they can control the narrative and control who's coming and going. On the Sunday, they had their launch event, but also we had CES Unveiled, which is kind of like the teaser of what's coming in the show. Now, for me covering electric vehicles, because it's held in a big ballroom exhibition space in another hotel, I can't even remember, Mandalay Bay, there are rarely larger things there that I can look at in the EV space, but there's definitely technology and people with stands saying, come and visit us at the convention center or the Venetian Expo, to come along and see it. So what I didn't know the last couple of years was there is a whole section in the Venetian Hotel that is down per country or region. So you'd have the Italy stand or the Netherlands stand or the Japanese stand. And then that would be like a delegation from the IDEA. And I don't think there was an Irish one. There were a couple of Irish companies there, but not a specific Irish area. And that's what be where they'd come together. They'd share, no doubt, the cost of exhibiting there. And that's where I met Carice, CARICE. And it's a little electric sports car made in Netherlands and absolutely selling like hotcakes, where people want something a little sporty for the weekend. It's like an old retro Porsche MG Midget, but it's a standalone brand made from the ground up to be an electric vehicle, and they can't keep the things in the place. And that's why they were at CES, because they had so many inquiries from the US market for people saying, I want a little electric sports car. Would you be able to sell it to us? And now they are.
So just two things. So firstly, the setup in the Venetian is one of my favourites, because that for me is where you'd often find the weird and wonderful smaller inventions that could get lost in the big convention centre thing. So I always love going for a waddle around that. But just tell me about this Carice car, because how does that work, you know, especially in the era of, you know, a million and one manufacturers who have this big magical history behind them? It's a very difficult market to infiltrate. So what have they done? How have they got popular?
They've looked at the marketplace for people with expendable cash and said, if somebody has a bit of extra cash, what type of vehicle would they usually like to buy? So they're not buying a starter vehicle. They're not buying an SUV. They're not buying a pickup. They usually are buying a little two-seater sports car. And in the world of tradition, there would have been usually a petrol engine in the front of it. But in the world of electric vehicles, there wasn't really anything there, a roadster. Tesla has talked about it for years and years, and they don't have the newest one out for the last, I think, 2018, 2019, or when it was referenced last. And so Carice said, okay, and it's handmade, beautiful. If you're Googling it as I'm talking about it there, Little Blue is the one that I was looking at anyway, with a tan leather interior with machined aluminium dash, real something like you'd see in the French Riviera or in Italy around the Amalfi Coast or going up the coastline in Belmullet, all these luxurious coastal locations, Jess. And there seems to be an audience for it. And so I wouldn't be the target market for it, but there is obviously a target market for it. Wouldn't be a huge battery, can only carry two people. You're talking at around about a price of about €45,000. So in normal EV world, you're getting a decent sized family SUV. And so this is very much something that midlife crisis is what I'd be in brackets behind it.
You've just taken the words out of my mouth, because I'm looking at the pictures now. And this is, I am turning 60 next month. I've got money to spend and I want to look cool.
I want to leave it to the kids.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous car. Like, it is absolutely stunning. You could kind of see James Bond kind of driving it. But I find that fascinating, Derek, that, you know, we're doing this slot. Actually, fun fact, as we're talking, so spoiler alert, Derek and I are talking on a Wednesday. Today is the anniversary, the 14th of January is the 8th anniversary of Tech Talk. So we're talking on the Tech Talk anniversary, yeah. But so we're talking about EVs for what, maybe six of those years or whatever now. And it just blows my mind that there's a manufacturer that's clearly super popular that we haven't spoken about before.
Yep, absolutely. And these are more and more cottage industry manufacturers are springing up, where they're saying there's a niche for this type of people that have extra cash that would have spent it somewhere else on an antique or a classic car. And now they're saying, you know what? I want the look of something classic, but I want the modern electric vehicle and all the mod cons. Yes, I want something like this. And the Carice TC2 is the exact model for those of you out there that are currently Googling what myself and Jess are looking at. So if you're now, I asked them, will they be bringing it in right hand drive for the Irish UK Maltese audience? And they said, at the moment, we're so busy, we don't need to look at that audience. And
That's very exciting. Yeah, no, that is class. I love hearing stuff like that. That makes me happy. So that's something that's...
One side of it. While you're on the Google there, have a look at Zoox, Z-O-O-X. You can even tell by the name. This is not going to be classic sports car looking.
Oh, no.
So as I landed in Las Vegas airport, as I was getting the taxi into the strip to go to my hotel, I was like, what is that thing? And so this service has been already in operation in Las Vegas since October. So what is Zoox, as we're in an audio format? Zoox is a box on wheels with lots of LiDARs and sensors around the place. Four wheels out on the four corners and sliding doors. You sit into it, two people facing two people. Carriage layout, I was told, like an old carriage back in the 1800s. And you tell it where you want to go, and Jess, off it goes.
So I have seen this before, and you know where I saw it? In an episode of Black Mirror. Again, as a non-driver, this to me is very, very appealing. But yes, would my control freak self get into that and be like, oh, sure, take us to Dundrum Town Centre there now. Thanks very much. I don't think so.
Do you know what, Jess? I've done the Moya with Volkswagen a couple of months ago, and it was the ID Buzz with the guy that was still kind of half holding the steering wheel because it's still in demo mode. It wasn't full self-driving. And listeners, and you have been in Waymos in the West Coast in America, and that's more disconcerting because there's a steering wheel and it's moving on its own and it's in a traditional car layout. I got into this, and because my phone account is an Irish-based phone account, you can download the app today as long as it's a US phone, and you can hail these and zoom around Las Vegas. They're coming to Ohio or somewhere else very soon. But my point being, you sit into it, and I was lucky enough to do a kind of a 30-minute loop. I'm just editing the video at the moment, and the doors close, and Jess, I was zooming, I'm not sure what the verb is, or the noun, zooming along the strip of Las Vegas at probably 50 miles an hour, easily. It is humming along here, like it's not going slow, and no problem. Did not feel like oh my God, I'm not in control here. Very smooth to brake, understands what's happening around it, because people driving are lunatics, and they don't indicate. Sometimes they do indicate. Sometimes they indicate and they don't take the turn. And this thing has so many sensors on it. It understands. And as you can imagine, every time it takes a journey, it's learning, and the AI model is getting better and understanding how much more stupid people are. But it was really interesting. Four seats. Each seat has its own control panel, letting you know how long it's going to take you to get to your destination. You can choose the music that you're listening to. It has a wireless phone charger inside, air conditioning. It was very, very interesting.
Yeah, I'm definitely intrigued, but I don't know if I'd be the first one in line to give it a lash if and when it comes to Ireland. Okay, so that is the cool sort of novelty side of it. Last year when you and I were at CES, we went to a slightly cringeworthy but super interesting presentation from BMW. Were they at it again?
They were at it again in the same location. But this year it was very much about the BMW iX3, which I've got up on the channel. This is coming to Ireland in March. Very, very important car and segment for BMW. And they were talking about their voice assistant is now powered by Alexa Plus. And so it has conversation, contextual understanding as to where the car is. You can say, as you drive into a town, where's the best place in town for some Italian meal? Or I'm looking to get some Panadol or paracetamol from the local chemist or pharmacy. And it understands all of that without you having to explain it, rather than open the window, close the window, turn up the heat and turn down the heat. And so Alexa Plus now powers the LLM inside in the BMW iX3. So there was a whole demonstration on that.
Okay, that is interesting. Again, I'd love to know how many Irish consumers would, like, how close are we to getting to that to be the norm, if you know what I mean? Like, is there the appetite from the average Irish consumer to be in that world?
I was in a presentation with Mercedes-Benz a couple of months ago, and they were talking about, as they've rolled the service out, the option to engage with a LLM AI assistant in their vehicles. The uptake, if I remember correctly, in Mercedes-Benz vehicles was something like 70%. Ooh. Where people, yeah, I was surprised at how, I think once you get used to it, and I remember we were talking years ago, Jess, when I started doing international press tips, and I was driving the BMW, again, iX1, their large premium SUV flagship. And at the time, there was a silly little gimmick on you could do hand gestures to increase or decrease. I'm currently doing the hand gesture as we're talking, for the radio. And you were like, I don't know how much of a use that's going to be. But by the end of that 2 days, that's how I was turning up and down the radio and changing tracks. And I think this is very similar. Once you get into the habit of asking questions, understanding what's going on, having a conversation, and then you can only imagine with Alexa Plus, it just means that it's going to be integrated with everything Amazon, and the fact that you can ask it to, or now this isn't the case at the moment with the BMW iX3, but no doubt down the line, you'll probably be able to say, has my delivery arrived? Can you add this to the shopping list? I know with the Samsung fridge that was on display in CES, it tracked the food that was going into your fridge and it tracked the expiry date. And you could start to ask the fridge, what have I in my fridge? What can I make out of it? The fridge would give you a monthly report or a weekly report as to how well you were eating as to the contents in your fridge. And I can see, again, Black Mirror, I can see this all coming together. And I think that the LLM in a car, because sometimes the having to use specific keywords and phrases to do certain actions, you're nearly as well to press the button or do it without using voice at some stage, whether it's the sultry male Belmullet accent or whatever it may be, the reason that they don't pick up the voice. But LLMs seems to have a lot more use cases and usability because we're in our vehicle a lot more nowadays as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, again, let me know. Do you have any type of voice control in your vehicle? Do you use it? Would you be open to it? Techtalk@newstalk.com is the email address. Were there any? You know, a few years ago, I think it was Ford. A number of years ago, they were talking about crossovers with different tech companies, different tech applications. We obviously have the voice control that you just mentioned there. Were there any others that kind of caught your eye?
The big one, the big announcement, and the big one that everybody was talking about in the EV space was a company called Donut Labs, as in donut, as in what you eat, and then labs as in the laboratory. And they're based out of Finland.
Mm-hmm.
And last year they came out with an electric motor that fits in the wheel of your vehicle without the centerpiece. And they have a sister company or part of their company called Verge Motorcycles. And a Verge motorcycle has a rear wheel. Again, I'll let you Google as I'm talking. They're just Verge motorcycle. Their rear wheel is like something out of Tron. It's got just the wheel. It doesn't have a middle bit. Very interesting. So last year people were looking at that going, oh, what's this vaporware? Because CES can be a bit of a smoke and mirrors, jobby. This is our concept and we never see it light of day. So they announced that last year, and do you know what? The motorcycle actually works and people were buying them and people are buying them. So people were like, oh, what's the crack with this Donut Lab crew? And the night before CES kicks off, the Monday evening, the press release comes out, the video gets released, and it is Donut Lab coming back saying, oh yeah, we gave you that last year. This year, we're giving you a solid state battery. Now, Jess, when I say the holy grail of electric vehicles and electric vehicle manufacturing has been solid state batteries, and people talking about they're coming next year, they're coming next year, they're coming next year, and they never come. Donut Lab said, we have it, we've made it, and we're sending it out in the Verge motorcycle next month. When I say the place nearly melted down, my comments, my messages, and so people understand, a regular battery has an electrolyte in it. It is made up of different chemicals and minerals, and there's limitations within that combination. But with a solid state, because there's no liquid electrolyte, it can charge really fast. It can take a lot of energy. It can charge multiple times and not degrade. It is what's going to make electric vehicles the default then moving forward, because you won't have to wait a long time to charge it. You won't have to worry about your battery degrading. You won't have to worry about colder temperatures. This is supposedly the best of the best of the best. Now, everybody, because Donut Lab said that we're not going to tell you what's in it, you have to figure that out yourselves. People were like, oh, this is all smoke and mirrors again, and concept and vaporware. But they're going to bring doing independent testing over the next coming weeks. But yeah, it was the talk of the place. Have you looked at the Verge motorcycle? Could you see yourself on one of them?
No. I'm looking at it now. Again, this will show you how intelligent I am. So the car that we spoke about at the top was James Bond. The one in the middle was Black Mirror. This is either something from The Dark Knight, the Batman movie.
Yes, very good.
Or what's that film with Ryan... Not Ryan Reynolds, the other one. What's the other Ryan?
Blade Runner.
Yeah. Something like that. Do you know what I mean? That kind of vibe.
100%. So Verge motorcycles made in Estonia and a couple in Ireland, actually. Some people in Ireland have them already. And now they're going to be powered by these solid state batteries. So you're going to be able to have 370 kilometer or 210 kilometer range on an electric motorcycle, which would not have been the case anywhere near that. You're probably talking 100, 150 kilometers would have been the maximum on an electric motorcycle. But these batteries are going to be able to be used in trucking, cars, drones, motorcycles, if it is to be believed. Now, a lot of the big Chinese battery manufacturers are saying, no way, it's a fake, it's a hoax, it's a scam. You can imagine, their nose has been put out of joint. But the Donut Labs, I did an interview with the founder, hard man to get. As I was waiting to interview him, he was talking to a very large vehicle manufacturer that I won't name on the radio, literally coming up on the stand saying, we've heard you got this battery, we want to talk to you. And so he was talking to manufacturers rather than journalists at the show, and he was getting emails and messages and everything for people looking to chat to him. So I luckily caught him and did an interview with him. But it is it was probably one of the talking points within the EV world of CES.
If this is smoke and mirrors, you would think that the credibility of the company would be shot forever, and they'd be kind of a laughing stock, or cited as, to quote Succession again, another movie reference or TV references, you're not serious people. It would be a pretty ballsy move to make these big, huge claims, particularly about something that could be so transformational for an entire sector, if it is just smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, he talks about that, and he says that, you know what, they're a lean team, they're an agile team, they're not stuck in legacy working modes and silos, and they just got on with it. Rather than talking about it and opening up their trials to the public, they just said, we got stuck into it, we got our heads down, we figured it out, and we just did it. And sometimes, you know what, it takes a disruptor in whatever field or space to just do it. And listen, I can't say it is real until we see the test results, but a lot of people are saying it's not real until they see the test results, where I'd be a bit more on the optimistic glass half full. Do you know what? If they're saying it's that they've done it, let's prove that they have, rather than saying, oh, they couldn't have done it because they haven't proved it. And so we will be back on talking about this, Jess, because this, nobody likes to use the cliche, but this will be a game changer if it does work out to be true. And you know what? Isn't it a great story if it doesn't work out to be true? Because we did talk about it for the last 7 minutes.
Ah, it's great. It's absolutely great. And like, the thing is, if it does prove to be true, right, do you envisage this company being acquired by every and any company who would possibly want this technology? Because as you said, this is a game changer. And the fact that if their claims are found to be true, that could expedite the process to get it into a car or any other vehicle that's on our roads.
100%. The licensing of it will make them multi-billionaires, or they're going to be acquired by one of the large battery manufacturing companies, predominantly in China. But it is going to be absolutely huge for them. And the fact that they have done that motorcycle and people were like, no, that can't work, and they've done it. And they've worked with a couple of other manufacturers as well. There's a sports car in the UK called Longbow. There's another EV chassis company out of the UK called Watt, W-A-T-T. There is a large truck articulated lorry company that have an articulated trailer. Sometimes you'll see them around Ireland, but mainly on continental Europe, where you'll have a large lorry with a big body behind it, and then you'll have it pulling another trailer. And they've utilized these electric motors in the trailers to help with the efficiency of pulling these large trucks and trailers along. And so the use cases of what they've produced already with regards to the electric motor, people said it couldn't be done, and just said, it's working, and then we're using it in these different aspects and these different. So for them to do it last year and everybody to say this isn't going to work, and they did it, for them to come out this year, and I joked with the founder Marco to say, you're setting a precedent now that you're coming to CES with something big every single year, a dangerous precedent to go with. But It was as much as from the outside, as I said at the beginning, top of the segment, that EVs weren't, and it's to do with the US and the administration there focusing away from electric vehicles. You could see that twist and that shift in the focus in CES, but you still had the suppliers of elements of electric vehicles, whether it's Zoox with its autonomous driving, whether it's Carice with its niche electric sports car at a premium price, or whether it's Donut Labs with their solid state battery. All of that feeds into the electric vehicle ecosystem.
Jeez, you've had a busy few days, and that's only one of your 17 trips that you've been on. But look, it's great to hear of the innovation that is coming down the tracks, excuse the pun, but also some of the cross collaboration between tech companies, traditional tech companies, and traditional manufacturers as well. I have seen from your Instagram, I always talk about your Instagram, that you've been on, I think, 37 flights, and it's only the 14th of January. We'll find out what you've been up to in a few weeks' time. If you want to go see any of the videos or any of the content from the last wee while, make sure you're following Derek on not only Instagram but on YouTube as well. Just give us the YouTube channel again there, Derek.
Yeah, Nevo Review. It does exactly what it says on the tin. We review electric vehicles, and Nevo is obviously the company name. So we're just after crossing 65,000 subscribers. We're flying it, thankfully. There's a lot of interest in it, and I'm looking at the stats for the January sales numbers already, and let's just say EVs are on the ascent again this month. So there's going to be a lot of 261 electric vehicles out there.
Very, very good. Well, we will catch up in a few weeks' time. If you are looking to get your paws on a 261 and you've got questions for Derek, you can email techtalk@newstalk.com, or of course head to nevo.ie. For the moment, Derek, thanks a million.
Thank you, Jess.
Tech Talk on News Talk
with Renault, leaders in tech. Built to entertain and keep you safe. Rethink Renault.
Welcome back to the final part of this week's Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Before the break, we were chatting to Derek of Nevo.ie about some of the tech that he saw at CES. We were talking briefly about Samsung and how they do their own thing at CES. They also have moved away from Mobile World Congress in terms of announcing their new flagship phones. But a new flagship, a new S phone from Samsung, should be coming in the next few weeks, which is very exciting. I'm also excited to watch the Nothing brand, Xiaomi, Oppo, the brands that John Riley's been telling us about over the last wee while. Hopefully we'll get a whole host of new phones to test, try and play with over the coming weeks. But as I always say, if you have any questions for me, you can email me techtalk@newstalk.com. I'm going to jump into the inbox in just a quick second. But before we do, I want to come back to the story of Grok AI. We spoke about it quite a bit on the show last week. We had Alex Cooney of CyberSafe Kids join me to talk about it from the sort of safeguarding children angle. I also brought you a snippet of Minister Niamh Smith's interview with Ciara Kelly on News Talk Breakfast. But Minister Smith was back on the station this week. She was talking to Pat Kenny on Wednesday. And I want to bring you a snippet of the interview because I was standing, I went into the studio, I wasn't actually in the studio, but I stood in the production box. So for those of you who don't know how a radio studio works, this is a tangent now, but bear with me. So we have the studio, which is what I'm in now. It's a box with a window. And on the other side of the window is where a sound engineer sits and a producer sits. And if someone walks in, they can stand there and watch the presenter doing their thing. So I did that on Wednesday morning when I heard Minister Niamh Smith on with Pat Kenny. I went in and I stood behind the producer and the sound engineer, and I was looking at Pat as he was talking to the minister because I wanted to hear exactly what she was saying. Because as I mentioned on last week's show, the thing that I've struggled with most is how there is surprise and shock at the fact that this sort of stuff is happening online. And the fixation on X and Grok in particular, because this sort of stuff has been happening online for years. It doesn't make it right at all, but I suppose I've been watching and listening with interest to the coverage that's just focusing on one platform rather than the wider issues. Now, On Tuesday, there was talk of legislation being pushed through to sort of tackle particular misuses and abuses of AI, which is great. Again, it's going to be the enforcement of that that is going to be incredibly important. But I want to play you this exchange between Pat and Minister Smith, because I think it's important, and I think it highlights one of the key issues here.
Now, you mentioned at the beginning, if people feel affronted by any of this or affected directly by it, because there may be people whose images have been shared against their will, who do they actually contact? I mean, you mentioned the guards, you mentioned getting help from Hotline, you mentioned Commissioner Naman, you mentioned the Digital Services Commissioner, all of those people. But where do you go first?
Well, I suppose if it was me and I had been impacted, I would go to an Garda Síochána corner first, because they are our law enforcers. I would go to Hotline. I would go to the Data Protection Commission, who has a role to play here too. And I would be certain, if I had been impacted by this, to make a complaint to Commissioner Mann, because all of these state agencies do need the actual support of real life experiences of people, because we're talking, I suppose, in a very holistic, we're talking in a very rounded fact of how it's affecting society in general.
Yeah, but what I want to know is, you go to the guards and you maybe have the image that has been circulated, you show it to them and say, look, this has been circulated by whoever it might be, A, B or C, even if you may not even know, they may be hiding under a cloak of anonymity. What will the guards do, and how long will it take them to do it?
Well, again, I've written to the commissioner to, I suppose, see what engagement they've had with Commissioner Mann, and what engagement, more importantly, they've had with Twitter. And as you will know, I am meeting with them in the very near future, I hope. But the supports, I suppose, have to be put in place. And I would imagine, I can't categorically say, because I have to meet with the commissioner yet, in terms of what supports the Gardaí can find. But any crime that is perpetrated against women or children, there are supports in place. And Garda Síochána is the first port of call in those instances.
Yeah, but the question is, how quickly can they act? One of my listeners wants to know, do we have any indication how many Irish people have been affected by Grok AI? How many complaints they have been made to any of the bodies you've mentioned there? I mean, has anyone actually complained about this? Everyone's shocked by it. But if they haven't been touched by it themselves, if their own image hasn't been perverted in some way, you know, how do we know the extent of the damage?
Well, I hope that the meetings that I'm having today, Pat, will give me a sort of clear idea of the numbers that we're talking about.
Yeah, that is Minister Niamh Smith talking to Pat Kenny on Wednesday. I have to say, that to me is, I'd rather we focus on addressing that question than getting a meeting with X. To be completely honest, and again, that's my personal opinion, I'm nowhere near as informed, I'm sure, as those who are working in the department. But, like, the key issue and the reason why we have the Online Safety Commissioner and Commissioner Mann and all these other bodies is to keep people safe online and protect people's well-being online. And as I said, if there's an image of me that has been created without my consent, and I want it taken down, what do I do? How do I get it taken down? What gets it taken down quicker? Is it going to the guards? Is it writing to Commissioner Mann, emailing Commissioner Mann? Is it reporting repeatedly on X? Like, what are the systems that are in place? And how do we make sure that action is taken quickly? I still don't have that answer. And I find it worrying that nobody seems to have that answer. What am I missing? TechTalk@newstalk.com is the email address. It's very, very frustrating. Right, I'm going to run through some of the emails that have come in because there have been some great ones over the last few days. So thank you for that. Julia was in touch saying, after listening to your programme, I thought you might be interested in reading Derva Davis's superb book, Disconnect. The disconnect is between the actual science and what is presented to the public. Time magazine says, time and again, she shows the way industry has been able to twist science just enough to stave off the possibility of any regulation. Derva Davis is an environmental scientist and epidemiologist and was a member of the AI Gore team that won a Nobel Prize. Her writing is crystal clear and offers a fascinating account of how we have got to where we are today
and that just like any other area, there are good scientists and bad scientists, those who can be bought by big corporations and those who can't. Happy reading. Julia, thank you for that. I will absolutely add that to my Kindle. I do appreciate it. Another email that got me thinking, and it goes back to what we were just talking about there in relation to X, but this one is from Andrew, and he said, I just wanted to share an anecdote with you. I joined Twitter around 2010, built a nice number of followers, met people through it, some are now friends. For example, I was at DEF CON 24. I was on my own and sent a tweet along the lines of, at DEF CON 24, anyone want to get a drink? Two people DM'd me, we met up, had pints, and 10 years later, we're still friends. Elon Musk took over Twitter and renamed it X. I blocked him on Twitter and turned off notifications on my phone. One morning, about 3 years ago, I woke up to a Twitter notification and it was a tweet from Elon. I had blocked him and I had turned notifications off and he still got into my bedroom. So I rage quit and closed my Twitter/X account. I do miss it because it used to be a terrific way of getting news or comments about something happening right now. Like you said, and I said this on the Pat Kenny show, during the news breakdown a few weeks ago, the message would have gotten out on Twitter much faster than the displays at the actual Lewis stops. I moved to Blue Sky, which was created by the original Twitter creator, but it's not the same. Like, that is the shame of all this, is that so many of us, myself included, had built up a community on X/Twitter that we really enjoyed. There are people who I got on so well with and I looked forward to engaging with throughout my time on Twitter/X, but it's just not worth it. I still have my account. The only reason it's there is to post stuff about the show and to kind of follow certain people. But beyond that now, ugh, I just couldn't be dealing with it. Have you quit X? Are you going to quit X? Do you care? You can email me, techtalk@newstalk.com. Right, that is it from me this week. If you missed any of the show, you can listen back in full on the Go Loud app. I'm not back with Shane and Kira on Monday's News Talk Breakfast because I'm on annual leave. Look at me go. But I will be back with Pat on Tuesday morning. So enjoy the weekend and I'll chat to you next week.